This is K-Fangirl. I hope you're having a good weekend. Today, I'm sharing my first impressions on the first two episodes of Surely Tomorrow. Now, if you have been following my updates on Patreon, you'd probably remember that with every trailer that I shared, I kept saying that I was looking forward to this one and that it was a front runner for a coverage spot on Patreon. And then you also noticed that I am not actually releasing episode notes for this show. So yeah, this means that it isn't quite working out the way I had hoped. And today I just wanted to share my thoughts on why it's not working for me. But if it is working for you, then that's perfectly fine. You know, we're all different and we all experience dramas differently. But if it is working for you, definitely share with us in the comments, like, what you like about it and, you know, perhaps how the rest of us might enjoy this better. Like, if you have like a viewing lens that is helpful, let us know. So anyway, going back to my interest in this show, I was really gravitating towards it because I really liked the aesthetic of the trailers. It looked really pretty. I liked the idea of a second chance romance and I like the leads. I like Park Seo Joon and I like Won Ji An. I feel like both are solid actors. I've enjoyed Park Seo Joon in a lot of romantic dramas in the past. And Won Ji An, I thought she's done really well in the roles that I have seen her in. I thought she did well in Heartbeat and I also thought she did well in Tempest. And yeah, so I was very curious to see how she would do in this space as our romantic female lead. Let's talk about the upsides a little bit. Like I said, the trailers make the show look really pretty and dreamy, and that is also true of the first two episodes that I watched, particularly the flashbacks. So basically the story begins in the present day, but we do get into flashback mode quite quickly where it goes back to when our leads are in university. And so it's quite nostalgic the way the flashbacks are framed. Like, everything's very pretty. You've got like pink blossoms on the trees. You know, the grass is extra green and everything's kind of extra dreamy. There's this sort of soft focus effect going on, which I think is supposed to add to the nostalgia, but might also be to make our leads look younger than their actual ages. And it is true that Won Ji An is beautiful. I think one of the key things in this story is that she's meant to be this very very attractive, very appealing person who shows up in our male lead Kyung-do's life. And so Kyung-do just cannot help but be drawn to her. So I do feel like a lot of whether this show works for you is whether you buy into the fact that our female lead, Ji-woo, played by Won Ji-an, like whether you buy into her specific brand of ethereal, quirky, endearing charm. I do think that there are mixed reactions out there, and I tried really hard, you guys. I tried very hard to get on board with this show because, like I said, I had been looking forward to this for a long time, but it just wasn't settling for me. It wasn't clicking for me, and I have spent some time thinking about why. So at first, I would say that I thought it was mostly about, okay, you know, like this is not really vibing for me. I'm not feeling the story so much. Maybe I need to wait a little longer for the story to settle. Maybe these characters aren't really settling for me just yet. But I think that it's actually deeper than that. And for me, it hinges on the fact that the female lead, Jiwoo, is very much designed to be an archetypical manic pixie dream girl, where she's a character who's supposed to be like vivacious and quirky and just inexplicably charming, but kind of weird at the same time. And it's like she's just very appealing to the male protagonist, and she also inspires him to have a greater appreciation for life, basically. And what I perceive is that this show wants to present Jiwoo as a manic pixie dream girl. And the problem for me is that this doesn't actually work. So if this presentation of her as a manic pixie dream girl works for you, then I feel like a lot of other things will flow from there and this show will likely work for you. But if, like me, this presentation of her as a manic pixie dream girl doesn't work for you, then I feel like there's a high chance this show will not land for you the way it is not landing for me. So I'm gonna try to unpack that a little bit. The point here is, I feel like the writer had in mind to make you a manic pixie dream girl, but didn't quite know how to bring her to life. And so what we have, to my eyes anyway, is that we have all these various quirky behaviors stacked together to hopefully present a picture of a believable manic pixie dream girl. But the problem for me is that all I see are these random pieces of behaviors, but I don't actually, it's not synthesizing for me. It's not coming together to make her like a whole character to my eyes. And I feel like a lot of whether this show works or not will center on whether or not she is believable as a character. And I feel like this affects a lot of things, because number one, we're not actually, I feel it's very hard to connect with her because she's landing more as a plot device to me right now rather than as a character whom I can believe is a real person who lives in this drama world. And so yeah, I don't actually have a sense of her as like a real character. And a lot of stuff that she does feels very like forced quirky. It's like she's forced to be weird to get Kyung-do's attention. But like all I see is her kind of forcing herself into his life. And it's not landing for me as charming. She is very pretty, so I can believe that Kyung-do might be attracted to her because he has eyes, you know, but, and, you know, maybe he is also just kind of overwhelmed and a bit stunned by her particular brand of weirdness. But I think the disconnect for me happens where we have, as part of the setup, the fact that Kyung-do has been pining for her for years. So they have many years of history together. Like they met, I think, when they were 20, they connected once, and then I believe, I'm not super sure, I know like they were, you know, in university at age 20, then at another point I think they were 28, and then I think now they are kind of like 30-ish. And so there are three points in time where they have connected so far in the story. And so Kyung-do is supposed to have been pining for her for the entire 10 years. So this is where it doesn't really add up for me, because I can't see why he would be pining for her for so long. What, like, if you were attracted to her based on vibes, based on her particular brand of weirdness, you know, like her particular brand of gregariousness, where, you know, like she pushes her way into your life and won't leave you alone and drags you out of class and makes you skip class and, you know, like makes you go drinking and makes you get drunk and just gets you to step out of your comfort zone. And that's why you have, you know, like very weak defenses against her and you can't help but be attracted to her. Like, I can follow that reasoning, but the reasoning breaks down for me at the point where, like, why are you pining for her if all this was just based on vibes? And if you want me to believe that this love line is based on destiny, then it needs to be teased out in a way that feels substantial. You know, like right now it's feeling very flimsy and I just can't buy her connection with the male lead because I can't buy her as a fully formed character. And so, it's gone to the point where this is, for me, affecting the credibility of the male lead, because as I've described, he might be momentarily entranced by her beauty or just maybe confused by her weirdness, but to then have her have this hold over him for so many years in her absence, it just doesn't add up. So the surface level kind of attraction doesn't add up to a substantial emotional connection. So he might be curious about her, he might be infatuated with her, but it doesn't translate into something that I can believe would be a lasting emotional imprint that lasts for years and years and remains top of mind and top of heart for him for so long. So there's this mismatch between, you know, what the show wants me to believe and what I feel I can believe. And so therefore, I feel like the male lead's feelings, like Hyeongdo's feelings, are tied to this very forced, aestheticized version of Ji-woo. And I just find it very difficult to invest in this love line. And unfortunately, because I cannot buy into the characterization of Ji-woo, then I also start to think of Hyeongdo himself as kind of shallow, even though he's, when you compare him with Ji-woo, his characterization is a little more substantial. But when I take this into account, it actually feels very like it doesn't have substance to it, and there's no emotional gravity that I think would justify the long-term pining and the long-term investment of his emotions in the idea of her. So in that sense, I feel like the character development, it's very sketchy. I don't find it coherent. I don't find it I don't feel like it is going, like, I don't feel like the show is in the process of developing the character, and that's why I'm not feeling it. The sense that I'm getting is that the show is using all of this shorthand to kind of just give me, like, okay, this is the idea of this character, take that and accept it. And this is the idea of this character, take that and accept that. And now I'm telling you that it's destiny. Look at all these pretty flowers. Take that, accept that, and now I'm going to tell you the story. You know, it doesn't really feel like we're in the process of really unpacking nuanced emotion, unpacking shared experiences that these two people have had, and that's why they have this kind of enduring connection where they cannot leave each other's lives. That's not the case here. There's just, like, I feel like we're getting a lot of prettiness, like a lot of form, but not enough attention paid to the substance. And I just feel like the show wants us to feel like, oh, this is destiny. But I don't really feel like that destiny has, or that sense of destiny has been properly established. And it doesn't feel like the show has earned the right to have us believe that. While watching this, I couldn't help but compare this show to The Third Charm. Now, I know that not many people actually enjoy The Third Charm. I'm looking it up on my drama list now just to establish the year that it aired. Okay, so this aired in 2018. So it's been a while. So if you haven't actually watched it or have not seen it, I don't blame you, but I will let you know that it's a very similar construct where we have two people, and these people are played by So Hang Jun and Lee Som, and they also have a kind of destiny where their lives intersect, and their lives intersect also at three different points. That's why it's called The Third Charm. I will also let you know up front that a lot of people hated this show, but I liked it. So the reason that a lot of people didn't like this show, I feel, is because the show was mismarketed. Like, that particular show was mismarketed because all the trailers made it look like a very sweet romance. And everyone was expecting this to be a sweet second chance romance. But that's not what the show wanted to be. So in the end, what the show is really more about is growth, personal journey. The growth and personal journey of these two people and how their relationship with each other affected each of their growth journeys. And at the end of it, there is this very strong sentiment that, yes, there are things that hurt, but I don't regret it because I grew from it. You have impacted my life, and my life will never be the same because you were in it. You know, so there's this bittersweet layer, which I very much appreciated. Like, I thought it was a really good show. I believe I rated it a B++. And unfortunately, a lot of people don't agree, because currently, because I clicked into the show's page on my drama list, it's actually sitting at 6.7, which, you know, I don't, as I keep saying, I don't treat my drama list ratings as, you know, like gospel truth. But at the same time, I do think that it gives a kind of a pulse for how drama fans in general feel about a show. And for my drama list, 6.7 is very low. And so I think that definitely gives us a good snapshot of how most people feel about this show. However, I do feel like with the right lens, this show actually did right what Surely Tomorrow is not quite doing for me right now. Because in The Third Charm, I felt that the characterization was very carefully done. The interactions between the two leads in the various timelines was also very carefully done. Like, while watching, even though not everything was sweet and pleasant, it felt meaningful, it felt understandable, it felt real, and it felt human. And because of that, I could get invested in the bond of these characters. I could get invested in the journeys that they were taking. And it, you know, it was a point of consideration. Like, it made me think, oh, you know, like, do I want these two people to be back together? Or would they be better apart? And why? It made me think, it made me process, it made me digest. and I think it was very solid. In thinking about Surely Tomorrow, it feels to me like the makers of this show kind of want this to be like The Third Charm, but it's not, to my eyes, it's not managing to recreate the substance that we got in The Third Charm, but it's only managing to create a surface form of sorts, you know? It imitates the look of Quiet Romance, but it hasn't done the work for all of the emotional journey. It hasn't done the work of bringing these people together in a way that feels understandable, meaningful, digestible, accessible, you know? Instead, it feels like this show is kind of like coasting on narrative shorthand, pretty lighting, prescribed quirky behavior by our resident manic pixie dream girl. And this isn't bringing out the emotional authenticity that we got in The Third Charm, and it doesn't create a sense of longing that I can believe in, and it doesn't feel real and human. And that just goes back to my earlier point that, to my eyes, I am really struggling to see Jiwoo as a real human, because as far as I have watched first two episodes, it just feels like the show is kind of taking her out of a box and say, here you go, these are all the signs that she is quirky, charming, and just a special snowflake of a, you know, beautiful ethereal angel, and trust me on this, you know, I won't show it to you, but just trust me on this. And that is just not working for me. So unfortunately, this is, I think, the end of the road for me and Surely Tomorrow. It kind of wants to be like the heart ache. It wants to create that heart achy sort of quietness of The Third Charm, but because it's not doing the character work, it just kind of doesn't feel like a lived-in story. It just kind of almost lands as a very kind of big ideas, kind of a mood board. And that is basically how it's landing for me. If you have a completely different take on this show, please share with us in the comments, because I would be so curious to know. And of course, if you are enjoying this, then absolutely no shade on you, because maybe you are digesting this in a completely different way. And like I said, we're all different, and it's okay for us to have completely different filters with which we interpret the dramas and what they're doing for us. So if you're enjoying it, please continue to enjoy it. Don't let my lack of enjoyment take away from yours. And with that, I'm going to be ending off this week's voice note. I hope you guys found this useful or thought-provoking in some way. I hope you guys have a great rest of the week, and I'll speak to you very soon in the next voice note. 안녕!